Panel with Jenna Barr, 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The views and opinions expressed here on the Pensacola Expert Panel are not those necessarily of News Radio 92.3 1620, but those of Terrence A. Gross of Gross & Schuster, attorney at law.
It's 10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Terrence. How are you today? Oh, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty, but we're going to get him up in just a moment. We have Terrence A. Gross joining us this morning. You there, Terrence? All right, we're going to make sure that we get him on in just a moment, but we do have Terrence A. Gross that's going to join us from Gross and Schuster, and he always brings a really good topic for us to discuss, maybe get a little bit of advice from a personal injury lawyer, and find out a little bit more of, you know, what you might need in your life to protect yourself, or to, if something happens, you know, we need that lawyer to hop in and be a voice for us, for our case, whether we're going up against another person or whether you're going up against an insurance company. We have Terrence A. Gross here to help us. So we're going to get Terrence on the line here in just a moment. But feel free, if you would like to chime in today into the conversation, 437-1620. I believe, all right, I think we have all those technical difficulties ironed out. Good morning, Terrence.
Good morning, and sorry about that. I guess we need to experiment with our little headphone thing, but I'm glad to be here, glad we got the call. So what I want to talk about, because we always run out of time, I'm going to jump right into it. As a personal injury lawyer, I have to let the public know that probably no one knows this yet. It's cutting edge. But the legislature has dealt with this issue for the past 5 years, and it's never passed. It just never made it out of committee. Whatever is going on, it just passed in the last week. It'll probably go into law maybe July 1st, I believe. I haven't read the whole statute, but it's going to turn automobile accident law upside down. So We've had no fault in Florida since 1971, and I've been a lawyer since 1979, so my whole career I've practiced under no fault. I know it inside and out. There's thousands of cases construing no fault. No fault protects the little guy. It pays your bills up front, 80% to $10,000. If you're injured, some people don't have health. Some people have big deductibles with health. Some health talks about out of network, or you have to go to your gatekeeper, all these rigmarole things you have to jump through, where no fault was designed for immediate payment. Ambulance bill paid, ER bill paid, early bills paid, and also 60% of your lost wages. They have just now eradicated or vitiated or, you know, whatever you want to call it, they have now deemed that no fault is no longer alive. So they have it is, once it's signed and once it goes in law, there will not be no fault. There'll be major changes in everybody's policies, so it's going to be very unwieldy at first. And then what they've done to replace it is we're going to a $25,000 mandatory bodily injury limit. So just to let you know, Florida does sell 10,000 limits. Actually, most people don't know this. You're not even required to have bodily injury in Florida. So you could buy what's called tag insurance, which means if you're stopped by a policeman and you can show your insurance that you have no fault for yourself and 10,000 of property damage, you're law-abiding, no tickets. It means you have zero. If you injure someone, that's the law in Florida. That's been the law since 1971. So what they've done is now are mandating that it'll be a minimum of $25,000. So every driver to drive lawfully in the state of Florida is going to have at least $25,000 of bodily injury coverage. So the good news is, I would say probably 50% of the drivers are sitting there with a 10,000 limit. A lot of people default, you know, to the lower limits because it's cheaper. So now we're going to join the vast majority of states that have a 25,000 limit. Louisiana has been on 25 for years. Georgia, Alabama, all at 25,000 minimum limits for years. So with that being said, that's a big change in the law. It's going to really change the way things are done. To me as a lawyer, actually, I've talked about it with my sons, and my sons are my law partners. We all agree that what's going to happen is these smaller cases, instead of being a 10,000 for a small case will be 25, because if no fault doesn't pay, that means people are going to have a lot more outstanding in medical bills at the end of the case. The other thing that people don't realize about no fault is if no fault did pay your bills, you don't pay back no fault under Florida law. But if Blue Cross pays, they have their hand out. If you've got Aetna, their hands up, Medicare, TRICARE, whoever it may be, it's called subrogation, and they have a right to get paid back. So it's going to put a lot of pressure, and I think it's going to backfire on insurance companies, because I think they're going to find out, yes, they're gleeful that there's no longer no fault, but now every case, I think, is going to be worth $25,000, because if you go by ambulance to the ER, that's at least $10,000, depending on the hospital and whether they ordered a CT scan or not. But we see them at $6,000, we see them at $14,000. So $10,000 is probably the norm. And you hadn't even started treating yet. You hadn't even gone to a chiropractor. You hadn't gone to physical therapy. You haven't seen an orthopedist or a neurosurgeon or a pain doctor. So, and bills are expensive. So it's going to be a different terrain. The practice of law is going to change dramatically. So, yes, I'm happy that we got a $25,000 bodily injury limit. It's long overdue. There were only two states, I think it was Rhode Island and us, were the only ones in America without a mandatory 25 as a minimum. So that's good. That's good. The bad news is we had one of the best no-fault systems in America, and I think they have finally killed it. And it's going to hurt the little guy. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to hurt people that are well-to-do. It's going to hurt the people that are just scraping by, that can ill afford a lot of bills with either big deductibles or no health insurance. The hidden thing, I mentioned it, but let's go back to this. There was actually a disability payment automatically under no fault. So you lose 3 weeks from work, no fault would have to pay 60% of your gross lost wages. So it'd help you get by, help you with your Gulf Power bill, help you with your child support, help you with your car payment or whatever it may be. Now that's not going to be there. And if you say, well, I got disability at work, well, you better read your policy, because every disability policy I've ever seen has a 180-day deductible. That's very typical in the industry. So if you've got a 180-day deductible, that means you've got to be out of work 6 months before they even start paying. What if you're only out of work 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks? Again, most people, a lot of people in this day and age, they live paycheck to paycheck. I mean, you're making it, but you can ill afford a car wreck or a disaster like this where you got bills and no income and you start getting behind on the credit cards and all your debts. And it's not a good feeling. And then meanwhile, even if you get a good lawyer like our law firm, it takes a while to run down the defendant. So it's not like you get a lawyer and that lawyer settles your case in 30 or 60 days. That's never land. That's not reality. That doesn't happen. So most cases take me, and I push hard, and it takes me 9 months to 3 years to settle most cases. Some are sooner, some are actually longer. It just depends on the facts, the case, and so forth. If someone wanted to call us, what number could they call?
Yeah, if you have a question for Terrence or you want to weigh into the conversation with him today, 437-1620, that's 850-437-1620, or if you want to text in, 437-1620.
Yeah. So anyway, it's there's just a lot going on there, and I just think, you know, I got all these books on no fault, all this knowledge, all the case law. In one stroke of the pen, when the governor signs it into law, it's gone. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's been my whole life, and I can sit. I've written books on it. I've lectured on no fault, and there's so many different things that are tied into it. What's going to be interesting, though, is what the insurance companies do with their policies. So all policies that doesn't matter if you've got State Farm, Allstate, Nationwide, Geico, Progressive, doesn't matter. They all had the no-fault law in their policies because they were required to. So now there's just going to be this utter confusion because each company is going to have to hire lawyers to rewrite their policies, and then there's going to be accidents happening. And so I don't have a clear understanding what's going to happen. What if the new law comes into effect that you have an older policy that still has this no-fault provisions in it? It's contractual, so no fault is a statute, but if an insurance company has a contract, there may be an argument that we could still get no fault even though the law has been abrogated. So I don't know, we're going to be in uncharted waters. I think it's going to be very confusing to the lawyers, to the medical professionals, to the insurance agents, to the insurance lawyers, the judges. We're going to have a lot of, because this is a body of law that has been built up since 1971. You know, there's 50 years of precedent that is going to be eradicated.
A lot of relearning.
It's not going to be quite. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Terrence, we have Sue from Gulf Breeze on the phone. Good morning, Sue. You have a question for Terrence?
Good morning. Yeah, I do. He was talking about $10,000 PIP that's going to go up to $25,000, correct?
No, ma'am, that's not what I said. The $10,000 PIP is going to go to zero. There will be zero PIP or no fault, but we will go up to mandatory $25,000 of bodily injury. If you cause a wreck, you must have $25,000 per person, so it's going to be $25,500. If you injure two people, they can make a claim up to $25,000 against you under your policy.
Okay. I misunderstood that whole thing. Okay, then I'm not worried because I've got full coverage on everything. All righty, thank you so much for your information.
Thank you. And always, I've always talked about this because you just said full coverage, and you know, It full coverage is very subjective. It's like beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So what is full to one person may not be to the other, but you should have uninsured motorists. So now if they do away with no fault, your bills are higher, even if the person's got a 25,000 limit, which under no fault isn't horrible coverage. It's not going to be that much anymore because the bills are going to be higher. So whoever gets injured is by definition going to have higher out-of-pocket bills because even if health pays, health has a right to subrogate or get paid back. So they get a lien on the file, like a mortgage on the file. So it's not like you could settle the case and ignore Medicare or ignore TRICARE or ignore Blue Cross. They must be dealt with. So it behooves you to have uninsured motorists because if you get hurt, and the defendant does have the new $25,000 limit, and they give you $25,000, but you owe the doctors $15,000, and of course you got to get a lawyer, that means you get zero. So if the bills are $15,000, the lawyer gets one-third plus some cost, whatever the cost may be, so that's $25,000 there, and you get zero, so where's the money coming from? So it's going to be very important to have that. Also, I'm sure they'll have the option, I'm positive, that they'll have MedPay. So if they do away with no fault, it doesn't mean you can't turn around and purchase MedPay, and that's medical under your car insurance. I'm going to advocate it. I advocate it already, but it's going to be even more important so that your car insurance contractually can pay your medical bills at 100% out of the gate. And I'm hoping that you have at least a 10,000 MedPay rider, maybe a 20,000 MedPay rider. That even if you've got good health insurance, having MedPay in your car insurance makes sense. It's not duplicitous. It works very differently than health. There's no such thing as out-of-network. So if you have a car wreck in Arkansas, you're visiting your relatives, you have a car wreck in Arkansas, you go to that hospital by ambulance, your MedPay will pay for that. I can't tell you what if you're Blue Cross out of Florida, what they'll pay, what they won't pay, I don't know. But they'll pay 100%, no deductible, and you can go anywhere you want without a gatekeeper, without going to your primary to get a referral if you need to see a specialist. All these things we have to do with the rigmarole of most health insurance.
So you were saying like this entire, so all these changes, it's going to affect every single part of the way like the personal injury claim goes, correct?
Of car wrecks. Of car wrecks is going to turn car wrecks upside down. It's going to turn the whole system upside down. All the doctor's offices are going to have to learn how to bill. Who do they bill? All the emergency rooms. It's really going to hurt the emergency rooms big time because they depend on the immediate payment by no fault because they don't want to wait 3 or 4 years for a lawyer to settle a case.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, again, even though we have Obamacare and all that, you'd be surprised how many people are still out there with no health insurance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Or like me, I got health insurance, but I think my deductible, I think it's $12,000. I think I got a $12,000 deductible. I still pay, $1,500 a month.
Wow.
So, it is what it is. So I really think, and a lot of times if you got Medicaid, a lot of doctors won't even take Medicaid because the problem with Medicaid is the reimbursement rate. So if a doctor charges $1,000 for a service, and it bills Medicaid's probably going to pay $100. So how many doctors can keep their doors open getting paid $100 on a $1,000 bill, taking 10 cents on a dollar? But that's what Medicaid pays.
Mm-hmm.
And so if everybody had Medicaid, hospitals would have to close, really. Mm-hmm. So it's a problem. So we'll see how we get through it. I haven't read the law again, and as I read it, I may give you guys some updates in the future just to let you know. So there were many laws that got passed, but that as far as my practice goes, that's the biggie. How much time do we have left in the show?
We have about 6 minutes left here.
Well, I'm going to take a flyer then. Everybody knows I'm a personal injury lawyer. That's what we're talking about. But what other laws were passed? They passed an anti-riot bill. I haven't read it either. I think it's a response to what took place in Portland and in other cities after the George Floyd death.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big difference between protesting, which we always can do in America. We had Selma, Alabama with Martin Luther King. We had the right to protest. We had our First Amendment rights. Those rights don't include burning down stores and burning cars and vandalism and looting. So obviously that is not a form of protest under any stretch. That is criminal conduct. We really don't need a new law. I think we have it. But really, if you think about it, arson's illegal. We already have arson. We already have criminal mischief. We already have theft for those looters. That's called grand theft, depending what they're taking. But anyway, so that was passed. They also passed a law that ironically is backed by Bruce Jenner of all people, but it's people are calling it an anti-transgender law. I call it a pro-woman law. It's going to prevent people who are male by birth, from competing against women in high school and college sports, which I think would be blatantly unfair. You take a mediocre, I was a pretty good runner in high school. I ran track. I ran cross country. I wasn't the best on the team. I was about the third or fourth best. And had I been competing with women, I'd have been the best by a long stretch. So it just is what it is. Male bodies are different. We know that. We're generally taller. We're generally stronger. Not always, but as a general rule, we know this. And it's just blatantly unfair. Women have had to fight through Title IX just to have college sports. And right now I'm so proud of FSU's women. They won the World Series of Softball. They're always competing for a national title in soccer and so forth. And swimming, FSU has a great swim team as well, women's swim team. And to think that men, if they compete against them, if you listen to some of the national hearings where he had Rand Paul, he brought up his niece, who is a gifted female athlete out of Connecticut, and she was vying to try to win the state championship in cross country, I believe, in Connecticut, and got beat by two boys that said they're transgender. I think that's blatantly unfair. It affects college scholarship opportunities and so forth. So I think more states are passing this, but it's not anti-transgender. Even Bruce Jenner, who we know who he is, he was the recognized decathlete of the, I think, 1980s Olympics, and he is transgender. He came out, he is transgender, and he said it is unfair for males by birth to compete against women. I'm glad he cannot say the obvious, whether it's wrestling or lacrosse or track. It's just blatantly unfair. So I'm glad we're passing that law. It seems silly that we have to do such things, but it's just, it is what it is. So there are a lot of laws. Well, yeah, most laws come into effect around July 1st, usually. So I think a lot of these will, in a couple months, be on our books. The governor, I presume, is going to sign every one.
So is there a chance, just going back to the particular law pertaining to car wrecks, is there a chance that the governor could say, no, I'm not going to sign this, and it has to go back and get some form of reform or rewritten? Just because, to me, it sounds like, from how you've explained it, it's probably not a great idea to do that if we've had it going in the right direction for 51 years.
True, but I think he'll sign it. I think he's going to sign it. It was being pushed by the insurance companies again. I think it's going to backfire these insurance companies.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't like the idea of no fault. And I understand why they don't like it, because you could be the safest driver in the world and pay a good premium, and you're just safe, safe, safe. You can't help it if you get rear-ended a red light by a little girl texting or by a drunken driver.
Yeah.
So they don't like that. They don't like that. And so, you know, insurance companies, certainly if you've got a lot of speeding tickets and DUIs, they could say, you know what, we don't want your money. And then you end up with a high-risk carrier. So I think that's what they're thinking. But I think it's going to backfire. I think every small case from now going forward, a small case will be $25,000.
Okay.
Because of the bills. It's just their cases are going to go up in value.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. Hey, before we wrap up, we have about 30 seconds here. Where can people reach you? How can they contact you if they need your services?
Yes, at 434-3333. And my website is grossandschuster.com.
Excellent. Well, Terrence, thank you so much. You always bring so much knowledge and expertise to the table and really lay things out for us to help us understand a little bit more of what we're about to experience, especially with changes. So appreciate you. All right, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're wrapping up today. Thank you so much for joining me this Wednesday morning. It's a little wet out there, so be safe out on the roads. Tune in tomorrow morning at 9. Always have a jam-packed show for you. Till then, go out, change the world, and be safe. We'll see you soon.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM.